You see all the stories about Cavs Frog? I didn't know about Cavs Frog 72 hours ago. Now it's everything I see on social media,
it
the news,
is
everything.
Instagram. You just flip through the stories.
Yes.
The Cavs Frog is on everyone's story.
Right after the 15th win in a row for the Cleveland Cavaliers, the team's newest victory mascot hopped out of the arena to dance with ecstatic fans.
The Mets had Grimace, and we've got the Frog.
The Cavs Frog, simply known as Froggy, first leaped out on social media last month when the Cavs jumped to a 4-0 start. Then came 5-0. At 14-0, Cavs players took notice.
It's funny, but it's just like, that's what this stuff is all about. That's what the city of Cleveland has our backs like that.
Now at 15-0.
What was it like when you were recognized by the Cavs players?
We grabbed an exclusive interview with Froggy. Through her spokesperson, yes, Froggy is a she, we asked what makes her so unfroggettable.
Everybody smiles when they see her. That's it. Like, people just, they associate her with the wins. They associate her with joy and good vibes.
Up next for the Cavs, the tough Boston Celtics. And while Froggy's not worried the Cavs will croak, it's been a riveting story for fans.
Oh, it's so exciting. Cleveland's got some excitement, don't they?
And a totally awesome season ahead.
Audio courtesy of WKYC.
That is an award-winning piece right
there.
Said submit that piece immediately. You've got every single frog pun you could possibly... Now, did she say riveting or
riveting? It was riveting.
And
riveting.
Totally awesome season.
Wait a minute. You leave Lena Lai alone.
I'm saying...
That's a nice lady.
This should absolutely be in one of those award ceremonies.
What did 19 do?
I'm saying they all are. Every single one of them has done the frog story.
They sent Brad Hamilton to do an interview, and he talked to the frog, and the frog nodded and everything like that.
There you go.
The frog is a woman in a green frog blow up uniform or an inflatable mascot that they're dancing around in, and apparently it's taken downtown by storm after every Cavs win.
The Instagram account is exploding, and the fact that the frog actually has a spokesperson.
Yes. I saw another, they have a team. I saw another person talking on behalf of the frog. A man in a backwards hat. I'm not kidding you. There's a whole team behind the frog, so it's... To be 15-0 is not just 15-0. Well, there's going to be some excitement around it.
Does the frog go on the road now?
I have no idea. I don't know if the frog is downtown or if the frog is going to Boston, en route to Boston right now.
And then what happens? What is the frog? I know we don't want to think about this. What is the frog's official role once there is a loss?
It's like the San Diego chicken. This could be our own thing. Like, so there's no chickens in San Diego. Mm-hmm. What's the matter? You look at me like that for? I'm serious.
Well, the San Diego chicken wasn't associated with just wins and losses.
I know, but that's...
I mean, they have Moondog and Sir Cece for San Diego chicken-type roles. But think about, like, the Angels had the rally monkey or whatever.
Yes, they did.
It's more in that vein.
And the rally monkey held on for I think, longer than the rest of America was ready for it to hang on.
What I am pointing out, though, is that it doesn't need to be...
Well, that's why they lost Shohei, because...
That was definitely credited for the loss.
Like, Sir Cece and Moondog and Whammer, to a lesser extent, like, those are associated with the Cavs. This is organic. So Cavs Frog, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah, they're 15-0, and it'd be great if they go 16-0. If they end up, like, winning and then losing against New Orleans tomorrow, and they're 16-1, I don't think Cavs Frog should just go away. I mean, if they make a historic finals run or something like that, I think you're going to want that frog around people.
Yeah, well, here
have some fun with the frog.
Here's the other question. How that I really want to get into, because we've seen power struggles before in front offices. What do the official mascots of the Cavs feel about Cavs Frogger? Because right now, the Victory Frog is getting all the attention, much more attention than the typical mascots associated with the Cavs.
You know, that's up to
Is Whammer still around?
Sir Cece.
Oh, Whammer's still around. Whammer comes out, you know, for mascot night particularly. They have other instances. I mean, there is a inflatable Sir CC and an inflatable Moondog as well.
When they have the City Edition jerseys, because it kind of harkens back to that era with that color, I thought Whammer might have came out earlier over the weekend, but they didn't bring Whammer out. I was kind of disappointed. 720, Dan Shaughnessy going to join us on the show. Hey, real quick, if you're really that adverse to the draft, could Jameis make a nice enough bridge for you?
I said, Kenny, I was
you
out.
You don't even want to think about it.
I was out on Jameis Winston experience, and that's even acknowledging. He was awesome. I thought he was pretty awesome on Sunday. I know they didn't score a ton of points, and part of that was the kicker, which has got to now start to factor into their decision-making.
No plans on moving on from him.
No.
None.
Well, they extended him. You're not giving up, especially when the games don't mean anything anymore. You're not going to give up on your kicker now, right?
Yeah, whatever, man. Continue. What were you saying?
Well, that doesn't make sense to you?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so
they were bad before and they moved on from kickers, but whatever.
Yeah, but this one has a contract. This one they extended. So, yeah, you're going to give them every opportunity to try to make good and try to put this season behind them.
Everything Andrew Berry tries to put faith into right recently is just full. It's totally betrayed him. Go ahead.
So, Jameis, to me, I just wonder. Look, the speeches are entertaining. The Browns' social media, they post every single one of his pregame speeches. But when you lose, it starts to be a tune-out, I think, for a lot of people. Like, yes, we enjoy hearing Jameis and we enjoy hearing the funny stories, but that goes out the window when it's a bunch of losses. And you almost feel like it becomes all about the attention on his speeches. All right, I don't know if we can do this.
I don't think he's doing it to try to get attention on himself, just to get attention on himself. Is that what you're thinking?
I know it comes off that way, though. It comes off that way after a while.
Well, I think it comes off
like,
that way.
Like, is he just talking to hear himself talk?
Well, I think they're trying to do anything to have good vibes around the football team, because if you didn't have him talking, I mean, what else are you going to put out there?
There's nothing else
that they can put out there.
I can just tell, though, like, he commands, because he is a starting quarterback now, and he's kind of become the de facto leader of the team, that you got all these guys around him. Is every single guy all in on everything he has to say?
I would say that Jerry Jeudy probably is now, since he's getting the ball more, and Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman. I think those guys probably are. I think you're overvaluing that.
You think the defense that gave up in the fourth quarter, you think they're really getting revved up for his speeches?
How about they get their own motors going? How about they get their own motors going? Why do they need to blame Jameis for their poor performance? So because Jameis tried to give a motivating pregame speech, that means Juan Thornhill decided to jog around?
So you don't get tired of hearing the Jameis kind of fishing for words?
But honestly, I haven't really watched it in a couple of weeks. I haven't really watched it at all.
I just think it can be exhausting, and especially now it's going to be associated with a lot of losses. They're going to start losing a lot of games.
Well, they're not a good football team.
No.
And they're poorly coached, and things aren't going that well.
That's what I mean. Eventually you just tune that stuff out. It doesn't mean anything. These pump-up speeches, it's like, hey, pumped us up for that loss. He pumped us up for that loss, and then there was that loss. You know what I mean? Like, it starts to compound itself.
So because
I think that it's more than just a speech, right? We're talking about speeches because that's what we're privy to. What is it like behind the scenes? Like, you see the roller coaster of Jameis. You see the facial expressions after every incompletion. It's like, dude, they're going to be incompletions. It's okay. We don't have to overreact to every single thing.
He threw for 395 and two touchdowns.
I know.
That's worse than that?
I think in an honest moment, I think some of the Browns would be like, this is exhausting playing with this dude.
I can't believe I'm hearing this from you. I don't know why that would be so exhausting to have a guy who actually puts the ball on the wide receivers for the first time all year.
No, I'm talking about bigger picture stuff. Like, whether he can... We've had 84 starts in the Jameis Winston career.
Yeah, it's such a shame. He wants to go out and try to win the football game. He doesn't want to just stand around and wait to lose like everybody else.
I think you're misreading this. I think we know who he is as a starting quarterback. And then you add to the fact, like, is your quarterback room next year going into the season, Jameis Winston and Deshaun Watson? I am out on that. I want to make it perfectly clear.
Well, I
think a lot of Browns fans would be out on that.
I don't know if Deshaun Watson is actually coming back. And whatever form that might be, I have no idea. But whatever form, they didn't seem too terribly enthused about the idea of him coming back. That's the head coach and the general manager. Don't go after me. Now, I guess you can always play the trump card and say, well, we'll find out what the owner has to say about that, because he's ultimately the one that makes the decision. Okay, but if you're telling me that 395 is a good... Because I'm thinking about it like going, hey, I think they're going to draft a quarterback. And it's like, let's figure out the best quarterback that they're going to draft here in the first round. But if you are that averse to drafting a quarterback, I don't know. What other direction am I going to look into for quarterbacks other than him as far as a quote-unquote bridge? Yeah. Am I going to go back to the Deshaun Watson thing? No. That's a dark cloud that hangs over the franchise.
Yeah,
I don't care how much money is in there.
Trey Lance, Justin Fields.
Trey Lance? Yeah, I'd rather Deshaun Watson out there. I'd rather try to work it out with Deshaun Watson than Trey Lance.
I'm not against drafting a quarterback. There's still games to be played. There's still a combine. There are pro days. Like, there's still more of a story to be told about all these quarterbacks. And I know that, you know, just because you're hearing they're not as good as last year's quarterbacks and they're not as good as next year's quarterbacks, that
doesn't mean you can't find a right quarterback. You can always find one.
That means none of them are draftable. Like, I think if you're looking for perfect, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be happy about drafting a quarterback because none of them are perfect.
I agree with you on that. But my whole thought is, if you really did not like this class, if you're going, we are not going to add... Like, if they end up with the number one overall pick, like, if they're 2-15, they might end up with number one overall. You got to consider this. And I know we got to go to break. Just consider this. Are you going to not draft Travis Hunter? Are you going to draft a quarterback instead of Travis Hunter? Because if the class ain't that great, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a lot of guys trying to trade up to go to number one with you.
Right.
And so if I go out and I draft Travis Hunter, or if I get the number one pick, I have to think about him and all of a sudden think about my future, my franchise with a bridge quarterback.
This is a crazy thing. I mean, they are going to have a top five pick, and it could be number one. It could be number two. Like, that is unbelievable, like, now to think about the fact that they'll have everybody at their disposal.
He's the best all-around college football player. He's proven. I know that he got banged up with an injury this year, but if you're playing 120 snaps, you're proving that you're durable. And so if I get the number one overall pick, I'm sorry, I have to think about best overall instead of just QBs. And if I have to think about best overall, then I'm like, all right, what are my other options? Trey Lance is not an option to me. Justin Fields, adding bad to bad doesn't make it any better. So do I go back to Jameis? Or are we just really going to overreact to pregame speeches?